Today's daf is Bechoris Daf Lamed Tes, and we will begin from the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Ches Amid Beis. Today's daf is being learned Le'ilu Nishmas Tzvi Betzalel Ben Ramosha Aaron. It's my grandfather, my father's father. Today's his yahrzeit, and today's daf is also being learned Le'ilu Nishmas Devorah Bas Shmuel. That's Reuven Wurzberger's mother, and I want to thank Reuven for his very generous contribution. So we're in the middle of Perek Al Elu Mumin, which discusses some of the technicalities of Mumin that impact Kachim. Zok to Mishnah Chavarvar, says Rashi, Choyli Sheyesh Boitipin Levonis Ba'ayin. So it's some machla, some disease that affects the eye of an animal. There are tipin levonois, white drops. The point is that it's considered a mum shebegaloi, and as a result, it's included in the mumim that impact the laws of Bechairis. V'hamayim hakfuim. Additionally, an animal that has water in its eye, the water in the eye is also a mum kavua. Says the Mishnah, Izehu chavarvar hakavua. How do you know if the chavarvar is a mum kavua rather than a mum oiver? Says the Mishnah, kol sheshah shmeirim yom. If the last 80 days, that's a sign that it's a mum kavua. If it's not there 80 days, it would be considered a mum oiver. Thus, you wouldn't have the halachas of a bechor b'amum. It's not enough that you saw it in the beginning of the 80 days and then at the end of the 80 days. You'd have to do three bedikos during this 80-day period. If every time the bedika was done, that chavarver was there, it's then that we view it as a mum kavua. The Gemara is going to elaborate on that. How do you know if the mayim that's inside the eye of the animal is considered kavua, again, rather than oiver? So the short answer, the Mishnah's not going to give a short answer, but the short answer is that you would feed the animal tvua, grain, and depending on whether the grain was able to heal the mayim in the eye or not, that was our way of knowing if it was a mum kavua. Meaning, if the animal ate the grain and the mum persisted, that's a sign that it's a mum kavua. If the animal ate the grain, this refuah, so to speak, and the mum went away, that's a sign that it's a mum oiver. However, as we're going to see in the Mishnah and a much greater detail in the Gemara, it wasn't as simple as giving the animal grain. But rather, Zok to Mishnah, Ocha lach v'yovish al gshamim, if the animal ate grain that was moist, grain that was dry, that grew in a field that relies exclusively on rainwater, also known as a stehabal, or lach v'yovish al shlachim, or if the animal ate grain that was moist, grain that was dry, that grew in a field that doesn't rely exclusively on rainwater, but rather has to come onto irrigation as well. Or achal hayovish va'achakach halach, or if it didn't eat the grain that's lach and yovish together, but rather first ate the grain that was yovish and afterwards ate the grain that was lach, and after doing that, the animal was not healed. That's not a sign that the mum is a mum kavua. Meaning, because this animal, although technically took the refuah, took the medication, but didn't follow the precise directions. As a result, the fact that the mum did not go away is not a sign that the mum is a mum kavua. When then is it a sign that it's a mum kavua? If after the animal eats the grain, the mum doesn't go away. So if he eats the lach and the yovish together, that's not following the directions. Yovish and then lach, oichnish. If he ate the lach and afterwards ate the yovish, it's still the mum didn't go away. So now it took the refuah. It followed the steps. It did it exactly the way it was supposed to be done. And still it wasn't healed. That's a sign already that the mum must be a mum kavua. Either way, the Mishnah version of what the refuah is, believe it or not, the abridged version. As we'll see in the Gemara is going to discuss it in somewhat detail. But the Gemara begins, Masisa Mani Reb Yehuda, the Tana of our Mishnah is Reb Yehuda. So even though the Tana of the Mishnah, the Tanakama, is nameless, stating that, we have a Braisa that discusses different shitas, and from the Braisa, what emerges is that the Tanakama of our Mishnah is Reb Yehuda. Tani, we learned to the Braisa, Chavarver Kabu Abraham Yoim, the shear of Chavarver is if the mum was there for 40 days. Umayim HaKavuim Shmoinim Yoim, and as it relates to Mayim, it's 80 days. Rabbi Yehuda says what it says in our Mishnah, Chavarver Shmoinim Yoim. Thus, the Mishnah that says Chavarver Shmoinim Yoim is not Rabbi Meir, who's usually the Stam Mishnah, but rather it's Rabbi Yehuda. Zok Gemara Ve'elu Hein Hamayim Hakavuim. So the Braisa continues and says, how do you know if Mayim is Kavu? Ochel Lach V'Yovish Obeis Hashlochin. If the animal ate Lach and Yovish together, grain that was moist, grain that was dry, that had grown in a Beis Hashlochin. Oisha Ochel Yovish Ve'Achakach Ochel Lach. Or if he ate first grain that was dry and then afterwards grain that was Lach and the Mum didn't go away, Ein Mum. That's not a sign that it's a Mum Kavu, because again, he didn't follow the steps. He didn't do a properly. When is it considered a mum kavua? When is it considered that the steps were followed so that if the animal wasn't healed, muzayin, that this is a mum kavua? Ache yoichal yovesh achar halach. If he eats the yovesh after the lach. In other words, if he eats first the lach, and then afterwards the yovesh, the yesh noy gimel chadashim. And he does it for 3 months. So if he eats first lach, then yovesh, for 3 months, see what that means, then the halacha is, if it doesn't go away, it's a sign that it's a mum kavua. The Gemara asks, that from the Braisa, it's mashma, that the only time it's considered a refuah is if he ate the lach, afterwards he ate the yovesh, but it was tfuah that grew in a base hashlochen. Right, the Braisa doesn't say anything about a base habal, or a stay habal. It talks specifically about tfuah that grew in this base hashlochen. Now, our Mishnah mentioned lach v'yovesh shal kshamim, which we said is a stei habal, and lach v'yovesh of shlochim. And the Mishnah said that if you eat it together, it's not good. Yovesh v'achach lach is also not good. If you ate the lach and then the yovesh, that's considered following the steps. But it sounds like lach v'achach yovesh would be considered doing it the right way, regardless of whether the tefuah grew in a field that relies exclusively on rainwater, or rather it grew in a field that has to come on to irrigation. It would seem to contradict the Braisa, because the Braisa, when it describes the medication, says specifically that we're talking about a beis hashlochim. It sounds like if it's a field that doesn't have to come on to irrigation, for some reason, there's intricacies in the grain. In that case, b'kahai gavna, the refuah is not going to work. That's the Gemara's next kasha. V'atravayu toninu. The Mishnah's mashma that it doesn't have to be a beis hashlochim. It sounds like it could even be a stei habal. What did the Mishnah say? Ach, lach v'yovesh al kshamim, lach v'yovesh al beis hashlochim. It sounds like at the end of the day, as long as you do lach and then yovesh, not together, not yovesh and achach lach, it doesn't matter what kind of field it grew. So the Gemara says, chesurim mechsev achik tani. You have to go back and edit the Mishnah, because the Brice is right, and the Mishnah is one of the chesurim mechsev type of Mishnayis, and after we do a little surgery to the Mishnah, everything's going to work. The Mishnah and the Brice is going to reconcile beautifully. V'achik tani. Azoy daf shtein in the Mishnah. Ach, lach v'yovesh al kshamim. Mum, beis hashlochim, einoy mum. So if it's a beis hashlochim, it's never considered mum. Ude gishamim nami, acha yovesh, ve'acha kach, acha laf, einoy mum. Ache yoicha yovesh, acha alach. The bottom line is, at the end of the day, you have to edit the Mishnah so that the Mishnah and the Braisa are saying the same thing. V'yeshnoi gimel chadashim. The Braisa said that the animal has to follow this for 3 months. If he follows this for 3 months and still he doesn't get better, that's a sign that it's a mum kavua. Frank Gemara Eini is that, we're going to the Braisa. The Bach takes out the word Vahatanya. Varav Idi Barabin, Amrav Yitzchok Bar Ashion, Ada Venison Lach, El Vatishre Yovish. Now Rav Yitzchok Bar Ashion and Rav Idi Bar Avin were discussing the Loch of our Mishnah. They were discussing this refuah for the Mayim HaKavuim. And they said that when the Mishnah talks about the animal has to eat grain that's lach and grain that's yavesh, so they said as follows. During the months of Adar and Nisan, you feed the animal the lach. During the months of Elul Tishrei, you feed the animal the yavesh. What does it sound like? This is a 4-month process. How could you tell me v'yeshnoi gimel chadashim? Isn't it mavur that it's really a 4-month process? Zokti gemara, ema ada v'chatzi nisan lach, ela v'chatzi tishrei yavesh. We're just mentioning the 4 months during which period it has to be done. Meaning it's 3 months in terms of time-wise, that spans a 4-month period, because it's a month and a half, and another month and a half. Yiboyeluhu, lach bizman lach, v'yovesh bizman hayovesh, oidoma lach v'yovesh bizman halach. The Gemara wants to know, when we say that it has to be Adar v'nisan elul v'tishrei, the Gemara said what it really means is Adar v'chatzi nisan, elul v'chatzi tishrei, does it have to be dafka during those times? Meaning it has to be dafka Adar Chatzi Nisan, that's when you're going to feed the animal the tefuah that's lach. Elul and Chatzi Tishrei, that's when you're going to feed the animal that's the tefuah that's yavish. Incidentally, Adar and Chatzi Nisan, that's after the winter. After the winter, after the rainy season, so naturally the tefuah is lach. Elul and Chatzi Tishrei, that's after the summer, when the sun is out and you have the chamsin and it's very, very hot outside. So then it's when it's naturally yavish. So the question is, does the dafka have to be during that time, which is certainly what it sounds like? And certainly the spirit of everything that we said until now. But says the Gemara now, Yibayilu, that maybe we misunderstood this. Maybe the way you're supposed to understand this is a little bit differently. Rather, maybe it's possible that you can feed the animal the lach and the yavesh bizman halach. So you're going to have tfuah that grew bizman halach and tfuah that grew bizman hayavesh. But the animal doesn't have to physically eat the lach bizman halach and the yavesh bizman hayavesh. It could be if the animal eats everything bizman halach, it's going to be okay. Notice the Gemara didn't ask if they ate the lach and the yovish bezman ha-yovish should be okay. The question is, if the animal ate the lach and the yovish bezman ha-lach, would that be fine? So the Gemara Toshmat, Amar Rav Yehuda bar Abba, Amar Rav Yisrael bar Ashion, Adar v'Nisan lach, Elul v'Tishrei yovish. It sounds like you have to feed the animal during Adar and Nisan and Elul and Tishrei. Gemara says, no, Duma peri the Elul v'Tishrei, machin leba Adar v'Nisan. How do you know that? Maybe Elul v'Tishrei just means the peris that are out during Elul and Tishrei. Those are the peris that are yovish. Those animals, those peiros, you need to feed the animal, but it could be you could feed the animal those peiros even bizman halach. Either way, that was the Gemara Shailof. How much tefuah do you have to feed the animal? So we're going into the real details, the nitty gritty of this refuah. So how much do you feed us? The Gemara, Rabbi Yechon, Mishra, Pinchas ben Aruva, Kigroigers. Oh, my Rava, boy, the my Rava in Eretz Yisrael, they cleared the following question. And really, as we'll see, it's a series of Shailas. Every single time the animal sits down to eat, you have to feed him the lach and the yavish. Make sure it's in that order, not in the reverse order. It has to be in the right months, and it has to be shear of a greigus. Or does it mean that's besuda rishayna, the first time the animal sits down to eat breakfast, so you make sure you give him this refuah, you repeat it over 3 month period, or whatever the exact amount of time is. If it doesn't get better, that's a sign that it's a mum kavu. But that was the question. You have to give him this greigus of lach and yavish. Only besuda rishayna? I don't know bechal suda besuda. Intim salam besuda rishayna. If you're going to tell me that it's only besuda rishayna, kaidim achila lachra achila. Meaning, if it's every suda, so then the understanding is that you just, it's a little bit more of a liberal understanding of how exactly the animal has to eat it. But assuming that it's only besuda rishayna, so that's very, very specific. So you have to make sure you get it perfect. So the question is it before he eats on an empty stomach, or is it after he eats? Is it supposed to be on a full stomach? Zakti Umar like this. There's no shayla. An empty stomach is a good thing. Kisama, Rashi says, because most medication a person takes on an empty stomach. The question is it okay to give it to malach achila or not? Next question. What about shtia? Does it have to be, assuming lach achila is not good, it has to be before achila. What about, could you drink something? You have a little bit of water before you take the medication or not? That's pashut, that before shtia is a good thing. Kisairi, just like an animal will eat sairim on an empty stomach, so this medication should also be good on an empty stomach. Lachashtia mai. The question is it okay lachashtia or not? Another question. Kasher oy mutter. Does the animal have to be loose while you feed it, or could it be tied down? If it's not tied, it's for sure a good thing. And it seems from the Rishonim, because the state of mind of the animal while you're giving it its medication is going to have an impact on the efficacy of the medication, which is a progressive idea. So if the animal's in a good state of mind, so there's a better chance that this medication is actually going to work. Thus, there's a tzad in the Gemara that if you give it to the animal when it's kosher, when it's tied down, when emotionally it's not doing well, the fact that it didn't work is not a sign that there's a mum kavua. Maybe it didn't work because the animal's on gazettes, then as a result, it's not working. So if it's untied, for sure it's okay. The question is, kosher, my, another shayla, levadoi, ayim chavera. Does it have to be dafka with his chevra? Or even when it's alone. And again, if you gave it to the animal and it was together with its chabura, and still it didn't work, that's a sign that for sure the mum is a mum kabua. And it's the same shayla. The shayla is that maybe being that the animal was alone, it was lonely, it's for that reason it was in a bad state of mind, thus the medication didn't work. But had it been with a chevra, it would have been a little bit more upbeat, then maybe it would have worked. Another question. Besada, when it's out in the field, it's good weather, it's out in the suburbs, vade mailule, then for sure it's going to be good. Be'ir, however, when it's in the city, maybe the reason it didn't work is, again, he's in the city, he's just not in such a good place. In the event that it has to be a sada, gina hasmucha le'ir mai, what if somebody within the ear, he has his little escape where you could fool the animal by making the animal think that it's that it's out in the sada when really it's in the middle of the city. Would that constitute sada? With all these shaylas, says the Gemara, Tishbi, Yataritz, Kushes, Ve'abayas, Teiku. Reb Chanan ben Atignos Omer. Reb Chanan ben Atignos said, going back to the Mishnah, that as it relates to the Chavarver HaKavua. So how do you know if it's Kavua versus Oifer? If it persists 80 days. Reb Chanan ben Atignos said that it's not enough that you check it in the beginning of the 80 days and at the end of the 80 days. But rather, Boit Genoisai Gimul Pomim B'Toich Shmoinam Yom. You have to do three bedikas during this 80-day period. Amar Rav Nachman by Yitzchok Ubevat Shiyu Meshulashim. I mean, you can't just randomly pick three times during the 80-day period. But it has to be spaced evenly, the beginning, the middle, and the end, or you wait, actually, the way you do it is 26 and a half days, and that's the way you'd come up with exactly the way you're supposed to do it. So Shmuel, as in the great Shmuel, had a brother whose name was Pinchas. And his brother Pinchas asked him a question. He said, Ochal v'lo yitzi, what happens if the animal was suffering from a potential chavarver or from a potential mayim hakavuim? We had the shayla, doesn't have a kavuim. So you follow the step. Let's pick the second case. It was mayim kavuim. You gave him the lach and the yovesh, but it takes a very long time until you can determine for sure that the mum is a mum kavuim. So now the animal went through this process of refuah, v'lo yitzi, and it didn't have a refuah. So it's a mum kavua. Here was his question. His question is, l'mafreya havi muma? Do we say now l'mafreya? From the time that we found the mum, it already had a mum. Or is it only considered to have a mum kavua moving forward? L'may nafkamina. This is, what difference does it make? Mamon avshach, right now, mikanu lahaba, it for sure has a mum kavua. So what difference does it make if once we establish it as a mum kavua, we say l'mafreya, from the time that we noticed it and started treating the animal for this condition that it has, it already was begeder mum kavua, or it's only moving forward? So Pinchas Achud Amar Shmuel had a very geshmak in Afgamino. He said, l'mimo b'pidyoinai, what would be if at the time that you found this mum, you applied it? You transferred the kedusha onto money. Now you were mile in the money. You weren't a mile in the behema, you were a mile on the money. What's the shayla? If we say the mafreya had a mum kavua, so the mafreya was already psulei hamikdash. If it was the mafreya psulei hamikdash, the mafreya were able to be paid. If the mafreya were able to be paid, then the mafreya, the kedusha transferred onto the money. If the mafreya, the kedusha transferred on the money, if somebody was mile in it, he's a regular mile by hekdash. But if the mum is only kavua mikanu lahaba, so the mafreya, it wasn't psulei hamikdashin. If that's the case, the pidyon was never chal, so there was no meila. So there's a tremendous nafkamina. The mafreya, are you a mile? Are you not a mile? Sakti gemara, the mafreya having mum amol, the mikanu lahaba having mum alei mol. So when Shmuel heard this question from his brother, Kari Shmuel aleha, Shmuel quoted the following pasuk, a pasuk in Yeshaya Perek Lamed Gimel, where the pasuk says, pischim bazezu vaz. What the pasuk is saying is a piseach, someone that's lame, someone that can't walk. People that were pischim, they were disabled, they were able to go into a city and they were able to walk off with all the loot. They were able to plunder the city. How were they able to do that? Usually a piseach is not able to do that. But the pasuk is describing the situation where even someone that ordinarily would not be able to do something was able to accomplish a great feat. And the nimshol zokt Rashi was, kaloimar, what Shmuel was telling his brother was, ato you einoch mechudet. You're really not so sharp. But the Sha'alta Shayla Kizu, and you asked such a good question, She'eni Yodea Tshuva, to which I don't know Tshuva. It's interesting. I looked up the Seder HaZdeiros, and he brings one other Gemara where Pinchas Avua the Shmuel is mentioned. It's a Gemara Masechtas Mayit Katan, Achua, the Shmuel is mentioned. It's a Gemara Masechtas Mayit Katan, Daf Yud Chesam and Aleph, and there too, there seemed to have been a very uncomfortable exchange between Shmuel and his brother Pinchas. The Gemara says as follows: Pinchas Achua de Mar Shmuel Isra Bei Milsa. Pinchas, Shmuel's brother, Loyalenu, lost a child, and he was sitting shiva. Oh, Shmuel, a mishal time of minay. And Shmuel came to be Menachem Avil, his brother. Chazinu l'tufrei, da'avin efishin. And he saw that his brother, Pinchas, who was sitting shiva, had long fingernails. Amale, amai le shaklasu. He says, why didn't you cut your nails? Amale, so he told his brother Shmuel, ibididei hava, if you were mourning now one of your family members, mi mezalzus be kulei hai, would you be mezalzus in your avelis? Would you go and cut your nails? Zokti gemara havoi, kishkoga sheyotza mitlifnei ha-shalit. The isra be milsa de Shmuel, and Shmuel had a sit shiva. Oh, Pinchas, achu, the mishal tami b'nei. And when Shmuel was sitting shiva, his brother Pinchas now went to be menachal of him. And And the Gemara says, Shaklinu l'tufre, Shmu cut his nails, he took them chavinu l'ape, and he threw them at his brother Pinchas. Amaleh, he told him, Leslach bris krusalis fasayim, don't you know that you have to be careful with what you say? Because sometimes a person could say something, al tiftach pel satan, and something very terrible could happen. And the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yechon, aminayin shabris krusalis fasayim. Either way, two places in Shas where Pinchas Achuel, the Mar Shmuel is mentioned, and both interesting exchanges. Maybe the two Gemaras are related to each other. Either way, Zok the Mishnah writer. So again, on the topic of mum, Chayt Moishe Nikev. So the first Mishnah discussed a mum that an animal has in its ear. The second Mishnah discussed mumin in the eye of an animal. So now the Mishnah is going to discuss the nose, the lips, etc., etc. Chayt Moishe Nikev. If the animal has a hole in its nose. Or v'shenifgam, v'shenistak, it's cracked, there's a nick in it, svasoy, not svamoy, but svasoy, the lip of the animal, shenik v'shenifgam, v'shenistak, the halach is, all the aforementioned are considered mumin kvuin, it's considered a mum with regards to the laws of b'cheres, tan ramanon, nikvu chayt min zelotay, chzemi b'chotz, if the hole in the nose is on the outside of the nose, hareza mumi b'fnim, but if it's inside, meaning the wall that separates the two nostrils, that's where the hole is. Ain't a mum. It's not going to be considered a mum. What's the pshat? Very simple. It has to be a mum shavagoli. Mum shavagoli is considered a mum. Mum shavaseser is not considered a mum. Svasa shenikva shenifgam shenistaga as relates to the lip. Amar apapa toira brada sifse. It's only if it's the outer part of the lip. Again, the part of the lip that's galui. But if it's the part of the lip that you can't see, that's not an issue. Chutin hachitzoynis. We had this a few times already. The outer gums shenifgamu v'shenigmemu are considered mumin, hapnimin, but the inner gums, the part that you can't see, only shenekru, if it was uprooted. We said, why if it's uprooted? Because then, when the animal opens its mouth, you'll be able to see it. And that's a chiddush, that the fact that you could sometimes see it is enough for it to be considered a mum shabagol. You don't inspect from the tiyoymes and inside. So the tiyoymes are the molars of the animal. Rashi says, why are they called tiyoymes? So tiyoymes usually means twins. She'achas, because one tooth is nearest gishtayim, looks like two. Va'af lo yesat tiyoymes. Then the Mishnah is a little bit unclear. The Gemara is going to bring a braisa that's even more unclear. But then the Gemara is going to make sense of everything. So either way, zok the Gemara braisa. Tanu rabban and hatiyoymes, the molars. Ezel tiyoymes, what are the molars? Min hatiyoymes ulefnim. From the molars and inside, v'tiyoymes atzma kilofim. It's not clear what that means. Rabbi Yeshua ben Kfusoi oimer, ein shoichten elo al chitzoynis bilvad. That the only time it's considered a mum is if it's the outer. The inner is nothing. Rabbi Chanin ben Antignus oimer, ein mashkichen ala tiyoymes kolik. It's Dr. my comment. Number one, Pasha, what's flying? Number two, v'su, Rabbi Yeshua ben Kfusoi, hayne tanakamo. Is Rabbi Yeshua ben Kfusoi, the tanakamo, essentially saying the same thing? The tanakamo seems to be saying that the tiyoymes, which is the inner teeth, are not considered mum shabagali, as a result doesn't impact the bechar. What do Rabbi Shua ben Kfusai yoimer? In shaychten, no la lachitainis b'vah. So it sounds like they're posh at the same shita. Zok the Gemara, chsurei mechsev achiktani. This is what the Braisa is saying. Yezeu apnimis. What's the definition of pnimis? What did the Mishnah say regarding pnimis? Pnimis, if it was nifgam or nigmam, it's not considered a mum. But if it was nekar, legamri, it is considered a mum. On that, the Braisa is explaining the Mishnah Bekitzer and the Braisa in a little greater detail. What's the definition of pnimis? Zok the Braisa, what it means is menatiyoymis filofnim. Fityoymis atzmakilofnim. The molars and everything inside of the molars, closer towards the back of the mouth, and the molars themselves. That's all considered a lefnit. But medvar mamurim, b'shenifgamu v'shenigmu, avon nekru sheikh. That's the first sheet of the Braisa. Rabbi Shumak Fusai Yomer, Rabbi Shumak Fusai said, ain't sheikhtin elo lachitzoynes. You never shecht on anything that's inside. Avon pnimis, shenekru mishchad alayo. You can't shecht even if the pnimis was nekar. So you want to know what's the machloikis between the Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon Kvasai? Tanakama is if the pnimis were nekar. According to the Tanakama, which is the first sheet in the Mishnah as well, the teeth that are inside, those molars, are considered a place where an animal could have a mum, but only if it's nekar. Rabbi Shimon Kvasai is coming to say that even if it's nekar, ain't shechten elo lachitzoynes. But even Rabbi Shimon Kvasai, however, holds Abu Mitzvah. That in the event that the animal would have a mum in that part, the animal, even though you wouldn't be able to shecht it, you wouldn't be able to be poid it, but at the very least it would be considered a mum that you wouldn't be able to be makiv it on the mizbech. So there's really three shittas as it relates to the tiyomis. That's what the Braisa is saying, and that's what the Mishnah is saying. The three shittas are, as it relates to the part of the mouth of the animal that you can't see. It's not exposed. It's not gully. But when it opens its mouth and you look inside, maybe while it's eating or yawning, maybe then you would be able to see it. So what's the halacha? Mum in that area. Is it considered a mum or is it not considered a mum? According to the Tanna Kamma, yes, if it was nekar. According to Rabbi Yeshua ben Kfusai, it's considered a mum only with regards to the isser, to be makrivit on the mizbeach. But as it relates to being poided, whether we're dealing with the Bechar Bal Mum, or whether we're dealing with ordinary Psuli HaMikdashim, it's never considered a Mum. The third Shita is, it's not a Mum at all. That's Reb Chanim ben Antignos. It's not a Mum with regards to Bechar Bal Mum. It's not a Mum with regards to being Poydet from a Psuli HaMikdashim standpoint. And it's not even a Mum to say that you're not allowed to put it on the Mizbech. What happens if an animal's missing one of its Eivar, but it's an internal organ? So on the one hand, Mechusar Eivar is a very big Mum, for example. The halacha in Kachem is Tamas v'zachros b'behemah v'ain Tamas v'zachros b'oifis. So even though an oif went on the mizbeach, but there's no halacha of Tamas b'oifis. An oif b'amum you're allowed to put on the mizbeach. Stating that, mechusar ever, you're not allowed to put on the mizbeach. So mechusar ever is considered qualitatively in the world of mumin very, very chomer. Stating that, the Gemara is suggesting that maybe as relates to the Gemara's will learning now, b'char b'amum, mechusar ever mi b'fnim, maybe is not considered a mum. Why? Because being that it's a mum sheba seiser, it's not a mum sheba galoy, maybe it's not an issue. Or maybe no. Maybe being that it's mechusar ever, mechusar ever is always considered more chamorous. That was the shayla. Yesh mechusar ever b'fnim? Yesh mechusar ever b'fnim? B'man. Ila b'char says the Gemara, are we dealing with halach of b'char? Piseicha yiver k'siv. That was the first daf of the parak. The Gemara said that what's the makar to the halacha mum shabagaloi? It's learned out from a cloud prop to cloud. It says v'chiyah by mum piseicha iver. And just like piseicha iver are mum shabagaloi, so too the only time we have this halacha is mum shabagaloi. At the end of the day, it's not a mum shabagaloi. I don't think it should be a mum, says the Gemara. Ilu kachim, and if it's nageya, maybe other forms of kachim, regular psuli amikdashim, iveris oishavur ksiv. Doesn't it say iveris oishavur? There too, the Torah gives examples of what a mum is, and those examples as well are all mum shabagali. So the Gemara says like this, lish chute ulif ruki lo yubayla. Now we're not asking whether or not you could be poided. Could be bayla lif suli. Shaila was something else. Could you put it on the mizbech? We know it's not a mum for b'char b'mum. We know it's not a mum with regards to psuli amikdashim. For sure not. Because at the end of the day, it's a mum shabaseis. The question is, could I put it on the mizbeach? What's the shayla? Do you say, tamim yil ratzin am rachmana, tamim in chsarin lai? At the end of the day, it's not a tamim. Aydumah, tamim yil ratzin, kamum la yibai. It goes together with kamum la yibai. And just like kamum la yibai is me'avroi, af chsarin me'avroi. Meaning, the Gemara says, I understand, wherever the Torah says mum, it's not mum. But maybe it's also not tamim. I mean that it's also not tamim. Maybe I'm not allowed to put it on the mizbech. Toshma. Veshtei hakloyos. It says in the Torah, veshtei hakloyos, in the context of kachim. And we learn from there, v'loi bal kulya achas, v'loi bal shalosh kulyos. An animal that has two kidneys, not an animal that has one, and not an animal that has three. Okay, so if an animal has one kulya or three kulyos, the halach is it's considered possible. Tan yidach, another brayse, yisirena. It says a lashon yachid with regards to the kidneys of the animal, the rabbis bal kulya achas, to teach me that even if it only has one, it's still considered a kosher animal for a carbon. What's the kasha? You have a mefurish stira, a blatant stira. One brayse says if it has three kidneys or one kidney, it's possible. Another brayse says, Yisi Rena, the rabbi is bal kul yachas. We have a stira. Kul yachas is kosher, or the kul yachas is possible. Zok the Gemara, let's make a few hanachas. Sabru the kala almi ein biri vachas. It's poshit. The Gemara thinks that it's not possible for an animal to be born with one kulya. Elamai, what then happened? Vahab mixachas. So if you have an animal that has one kidney, obviously something happened after it was born. What then is the stira between the two brises? Talk to Gemara, Zeigishmak. Lame Bahakamiflagi. Maybe the machloikis, the very obvious machloikis between these two brises is this shayla. The Marasav Chasarim Rifnim Shmechasarim. Marasav Chasarim Rifnim Loish Mechasarim. At the end of the day, it's missing a kidney. That's a chisar. Oh, but it's also Bifnim. So is that a reason for it to be possible? That was the shayla. Chisarim Bifnim. We know it's not an issue with regards to Psuli Amikdashim. That's not considered a mum from a Psuli Amikdashim standpoint. But maybe the shayla is, can I put it on the Mizbeach? The man that says it's a problem, because at the end of the day, it's not Tomim. The other man says, no, at the end of the day, it's a Chasarim Bifnim. Chasarim Bifnim is not considered a mum. I'm Rav Chiba Yosef. The Gemara says, maybe I'll tell you just the opposite. Maybe everybody agrees, not that it's not possible for an animal to be born with one kidney, just the opposite. It's certainly possible for an animal to be born with one kidney. Additionally, v'chasarim bifnim shmei chasarim. Maybe everybody holds chasarim bifnim is considered a chasarim. If that's the case, they'll price it. That says it's a problem. That's talking about where it was born with two and now it only has one. That's a chesaron, because it was born with two and now it only has one. And chesaron b'fne, maybe everybody holds shmoy chesaron. And if that's the case, that's why the price says possible. The price that says it's kosher is the one that it was only born with one. If it was born with one, there's no chesaron. Being that there was no chesaron, and it's for that reason, it's not going to be an issue. But the Gemara says, "Vadumi the shalik shtani." The brisa that says that it's possible said if it had three, it's possible, and if it had one, that's possible. Now, mashalish menkara, the animal that has three was obviously born with three, didn't develop a third kidney later in life. So obviously, it was born with three. Afachas menkara. So if that's the case, the one that has one sounds like it was also born that way, and still it says that it's going to be possible. So the Gemara says you're right. Maybe just the opposite. Maybe that's good for the machlokes. The machlokes between the two brises, is it possible for it to be born that way or is it not? Marsava yesh beriyo ba'achas. The brise that says it's kosher holds because just because you see one kidney doesn't mean it wasn't born that way. And if it was born that way, there's no chisarin, thus it's going to be kosher. Masavim b'ri b'achas. Bryce says it's possible, holds it's not possible for it to be born with only one. As a result, it must be it's a chisarin, and chisarin b'ifnim, shmei chisarin. Rav Yechon said a different mouth. Kuli amein b'ri b'achas. Maybe everybody holds it's not possible to be born with one. V'chisarin b'ifnim, shmei chisarin. Maybe everybody holds chisarin b'ifnim, shmei chisarin. Like, Kasha, what's the machloikis between the brises? Doesn't sound like there's a machloikis. Kansha chasro koidem shchita, kansha chasro la'achas shchita. The brisa that says it's possible is when it lost its kidney before the shchita. The brisa that says it's kosher is talking about when it lost its kidney after the shchita. Now, after the shchita, at that point, you already did the shchita. So what should be the problem? If it lost its, if one of the kidneys came after the shchita, you shechted the animal already. You have a psul mum in an animal. If it developed a blemish after the shchita, before the shchita, you can't be makrivit. But once I did the shchita, why should it be a problem? The Gemara says, why? This is Vachim 101. Ulacha shchitim koidem kabbalah mi shariv. Amar Reb Zeira. Reb Zeira said, Amar Rav in the name of Rav. And this is in Zvachim daf chaf hey. So give nishbach hatsoyrim oizen apar v'acha kalki b'damoy. If somebody would do shchita, and right after the shchita, he nicks the ear of the animal. He gives it the proverbial mum. And then he did kabbalah pas shenemar v'lokach midam apar. And we learn from there, apar shoyikvar. The zelba par that was had to be a tumim at the time of the shchita has to be a tumim at the time of the kabbalah. So how could you tell me that if it developed a mum after the shchita, that's going to be okay? You see, mefurish that if it develops a mum after the shchita, it's not okay. So the Gemara says, Eli, you have to say kansha chaser kaidim kabbalah kansha chaser lachim. Well, you're right. When it comes to kabbalah, this is a din v'lokach midam apar. But after Kabbalah could develop a mum, so the brisa that says it's okay is talking about where we removed one of the kidneys after the shchita and even after the Kabbalah. But the Gemara says, is that also so simple? That if you would give the animal a mum, amazing, the animal had shchita already. I mean, in l'cham mum g'doyla mizu, you had a shecht roiv of its base simonim. The animal's dead. Probably not even mefarcheses anymore at this point. So l'chayra, what's the problem if you go and now you nick the ear, it's going to be an issue? Yeah, the answer is yes. So the Gemara says, and even after Kabbalah, it's an issue. How do we know that? Vatanya, we learned in a braisa, se tamim zachar ben shana yelchem. We learn from here, she yehe tamim ben shana b'shashchita. It has to be a tamim and a ben shana at the time of the shchita. This is referring to the Karban Pesach. How do you know the same is true for Kabbalah Lachan Zrika? Talmud Loimar says, yeah. Se tamim zachar ben shana yeah. She yiyu kol havi yosef. With regards to all the havayos, meaning all the avoidas, whether it's the Kabbalah, the Halacha, the Zrika, it has to be in that same state of tam u ben shana. So you see, it has to be a tam through the entire process, through all the avodas. How could you tell me that the brisa that says that if it lost one of the kolyas, it's not considered a mum? Why? Because it happened after the shchita, and even after the Kabbalah, there's a halach of yiyah. Sheyu kol aviyosef tamu ben shana. So the Gemara says tirgama ben shana. When it says yiyah, sheyu kol aviyosef, it's not going back on tam and ben shana. It's just going back on ben shana. Hachinami mistabra. The tiny relent in a brisa. Reb Yeshua oimer kol asvachum shabatayrish in shteimim kasayis pasuk kasayis chaylev zarek kasadam. Reb Yeshua has a shita. Reb Eliezer argues. Reb Yeshua has a shita in Mesachtes Vachim and Mesachtes Menachis, where he says that the only time you're allowed to do a Zerika with a carbon is if it has either a kezayis of basar or a kezayis of chelev. But if there's no basar or chelev, you can't do Zerika, which is a chiddush, because really, achilas basar and aktaras emurim, ashiyari mitzvah, they're not ma'akiv in the carbon. Stating that, Rabbi Yeshua says, despite the fact that they're not ma'akiv, still there's a halacha that if you don't have a kezayis basar or a kezayis chelif, you're not allowed to do a zrika. There's a pelad of Rashi, Masachas Menachas, Daf Tesam and Aleph, where Rashi says, the reason Rabbi Yeshua holds you have to have a kezayis basar, kezayis chelif, is because the ikar of the zrika is to be matar basa b'achila or emurim b'haktara, which is mirafs and igri mamish. Rashi is very, very hard to understand. But iron grizz and stencils, ve'inkam ekoim elahar. But either way, that is Rabbi Yeshua's shita. Rabbi Yeshua says that the only time you can do zurika is if there's at least a kezayis of basar or a kezayis of chel. What does it sound like? That as long as you have a kezayis basar, kezayis chel, the rest of it could be gone. It's gone. That means this animal was it was completely ripped apart. As long as you can find one kezayis, that's going to be enough for you to be able to do a zurika. What's the kasha? If there's a locha that says, se tomim zocher ben shana yeh, sheyu kol aviyos of tomu ben shana. What do you mean all you have to have is a kezayis? You have to have the whole animal. Once it's missing a little something, it's already going to be puzzle because of the psul mum. Elamai, you see, there is no halacha of mum at the time of zurika. What does yeh mean? Oh, yeh must be going back on ben shana shmamina. Says the Gemara, umiyah kemidid b'shash chita havi ben shana, u'b'shash kabbalah v'ilocha havi ben shtei shanam. But the Gemara says it's a technical issue. What do you mean? So you have to make sure at the time you shecht it, it's 1 year old. And just make sure that at the time you do the zurika, it's not going to be two. Now, this shechita and the zurika have to happen on the same day. Rashi says, can't do it the next day. You're getting involved in psolina, psol shkia, right? There's probably Rabbeinu Tam shkia. That's one of the places Tesis and Shas bring shechitas Rabbeinu Tam about his shkia is in Mesach Tzvachim regarding the psol damit. But once the sun sets, you're out of business. You can't do it anymore. So obviously, it's going to happen on the same day. And if it's going to happen on the same day, it's going to be the same age. Can't change ages on the same day. Zok Gemara, no. Amar Rava. Rava said, so you say meres, shoyz poislis bekachin. You see from here that when you factor the age of an animal, you don't say, oh, today's my birthday, so as soon as the sun rises, alois hashacha, neitzachama. No, it doesn't work that way. It's me'es lay. So if the animal was born at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, it's going to be the next year at 4 o'clock, that's when the birth. So it's actually possible that on the same day, the animal could be 1 year old, he could be 2 years old. In the Shiurim, they bring that the Priskarov asked, we spoke to Sanis Vachim Daf Chafei. He said, even if you old Shoy is poisleis bekachim, it's still a Pella. Because once an animal dies, it can't get older anymore, right? That's it. The meter stops running. So it's not possible that if you killed the animal at 3 o'clock, now 4 o'clock, it just became, you can't have a birthday anymore. It's not alive. Nice aura. Either way, Zokti Gemara, Leimo Ketanoi. Going back to the original question, which is, Achsarin mi bifnim, Shmei Chisarin, Aloi Shmei Chisarin. As the Gemara clarified, the Shaila is, with regards to the halacha, that you're not let it be makriv of Balmum on the Mizbech. We don't mean with regards to our sugis, which is Bechar Balmum. In other words, the Gemara is digressing a little bit. We don't mean with regards to the sugis even of Suliyah Mekdash. That says an animal that has a mum, you can now be poeted. In terms of that, a chesar mi b'fnim is for sure not considered a mum. Because when the Torah says the word mum, the Torah for sure means a mum shabagali. The question is something else. The question is, and when it comes to putting an animal on the mizbeach, it has to be a tamim. So yesh loymar, even though a chesar mi b'fnim is not mum in the sense that when the Torah says halach is related to mum, this is probably not what the Torah means, but it's also not a tamim. So if it's not a tamim and there's an issa to put a carbon that's not a tamim on the Mizbeach, maybe this should be a problem. So the Gemara says, L'chura, it's a machloikis tanoin. The Pasuk says, Uma'uch v'kosus, v'nosuk v'korus, lo'isakrivu l'Hashem, uva'artzachem lo'isasus. So the context again is dealing with mumim of an animal, specifically the beitzim, the testicles of the animal. So the Pasuk says as follows, Uma'uch v'kosus, if the beitzim were crushed, different types of crushed, or v'nosuk v'korus, if they were detached or removed, the halacha is that considered mumim. Zok de Gemara umoch v'kasas v'nasik v'kars kulam bebeitz and different Rabbi Yehuda says the pasuk is referring to the beitz and the testicles of the animal. Bebeitz and v'loy begid frank the Gemara. Well, only bebeitz and it sounds like the gid of the animal. If it was ma'uch a kasus or if it was removed, it wouldn't be a psul. That's not possible. Now, why is that not possible? So what's going to emerge from the Gemara is because the beitzim are more beseiser than the gid is. So it makes more sense that these should be psulim in the gid
than psulim in the beitzim. So how is it possible? It's only an issue with the beitzim, not with the gitz. The Gemara says, right, ema af pe beitzim, divrei Rabbi Yehuda, meaning it applies to the beitzim and to the gitz. Blessed ben Yaakov Omer, kulam begit. No, the pasuk is only referring to the gitz. It's not referring to the beitzim. Rabbi Yossi says, moch the kasos af pe beitzim. Nosuk the karius begit in the beitzim lois. He made a yachloiku. He said the first two is even by the beitzim, the second two is only in the gitz. Zok the Gemara. What's the machlokes over here? Seems like we have a shaila whether these moment that are mentioned in the Torah, Moch and Kosos and Nosik and Chorus, in the event that these moment were manifest in the Beitzah, is it considered a mum or is it not considered a mum? What's the shaila? Zok the Gemara lechur the shaila is the masav chesam b'vifnim shmeichesar masav alay shmeichesar. Meaning the Gemara understands that these things would constitute chisar. So if they constitute a chisar, maybe that's true for the shaila. You're right. The beitzim of the animal is considered fnin and. This is the question. A chasar mibifnim, is it a chasar or is it like chasar? But the Gemara says vetisbra. That would be very nice to explain Rabbi Yehuda Shita and Rabbi Lezben Yaakov, but there was a third Shita. Rabbi Yossi, he split it. He said, Moch v'kos is one way, Nasuk and Karis the other way. So my kasava was Rabbi Yosef. He goes, I'm with him, Shmechisar, and if he also chasar, I feel Nasuk v'kos nami. Then Nasuk v'kos should also relate to the Beitzim. Because I'm with Shmechisar, if it's not considered chasar, I feel Moch v'kos is nami, why? So hey, goes, Rabbi Yosef. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Yosef is throwing us for a loop. And as a result, it's muchach that we can't overly simplify this machlokes. Elohacha b'mumim shebegaloi komiflegi. What then is machlokes? The machlokes is with regards to a mum shebegaloi, meaning everybody agrees it has to be a mum shebegaloi. The question is, Rabbi Yehuda saw that Moch v'kosis having mumma, that Moch v'kosis is considered a mum shabagaloi. Why the mekafsa? Because when it's Moch and Kosis, so the beitzim are squashed and it's noticeable. Something is off. Nasuk v'karis having mumma d'Italian. If it's Nasuk and Karis the beitzim, so that area is going to hang lower than it usually does. And again, it's going to be nicker that something's wrong. Lezben Yaakov Savar, it's not considered galoi. Moch, because it's lehavi mu, the mekar, nami zim the mekavsin, because sometimes, even a healthy animal, the beitzim are going to look crushed. And nasik bekaris lehavi mu, the mekar, nami zim the tali, sometimes it's also going to hang that way. And as a result, he held, that's not muchach. Rabbi Yossi Savar, Rabbi Yechich held, was somewhere in between. He held, moch, because it's havi mu, don't last no, moch, because it's no, when it's crushed, that's mamish not there. And that's for sure going to be noticeable, as opposed to noch, because it's where it's there. It's just attached. Lehavi mumu daha is no. The point is, machlokes is not whether chesar b'fnim havi chesar lechesar. Could be chesar b'fnim for sure is not a chesar. It has to be galui. The question was, something will for sure be noticeable. That's noticeable. Is it enough to make this a mum shebegalui, or is that's noticeable not enough to make it a mum shebegalui? So just to digress a little bit, and then Bezus Hashem to digress from our digression one hour. So the last pasuk that the Gemara brought, Umauch v'kasus, v'nasuk v'karus, lo yisakrivu l'Hashem, u'ba'artzachem lo yisasa. This pasuk is clearly talking about an animal that's kachim. It's discussing the mumin, a machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. This is a Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov in a braisa, but it's machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, and Rabbi Yossi, whether the mumin mentioned in the pasuk are referring to the beitzim, the gid, or maybe both, and it comes into our sugya because the Gemara is discussing this halach chisarim mibifnim havi chisarim or chisarim mibifnim loy havi chisarim. It's interesting that there's another halacha that's learned out from this pasuk, and that halacha is something that's negeya kachim, but it's also negeya chulam. The pasuk says umoch v'chasus v'nasuk v'charus loy sakrivu l'Hashem. That's the first half of the pasuk. Uba'artzachem loy sasu. In addition, there's another halacha. Even ba'artzachem, meaning lav dafka in Eretz Yisrael. The halacha is loy sasu. You have to be careful to make sure that you have to make sure that you don't. That you don't do this. Zok Rashi, what does that mean? Ba'artzachem loisasu l'saris shum behema v'chayim. What the Torah is coming to say is that you're not allowed to castrate an animal. You're not allowed to take an animal and make it into a ma'uch v'chosus v'nosuk v'karas. Because by doing that, you're going to make the animal not able to procreate. It's what's known as sirus, and that's something that's also with the behema, even with a chayim. L'chach nema ba'artzachem l'rabis kol asher ba'artzachem. The truth is that the makar to this Rashi, in Rashi's understanding of what the pasuk is saying, is a Gemara Masechtes Chagiga, Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. And this is a part of a Gemara that we've spoken about so many times. Everybody knows this Gemara, but this sugi is afoichba vafoichba de kulaba. The Gemara says, Tanu Rabbana, Arba nichnasu beparadis, ve'elohim ben Azayah ben Zoymer, achar the Rabbi Akiva. And the Gemara says that when Ben Azai went leparadis, he was hitzitz, He looked at what was happening, umes, and he died. Ben Zoyma hitzes v'nifka. He was affected emotionally. Achar, of course, was kitzeitz b'netiyos. He was affected spiritually. And it was only Rabbi Akiva that was yotze b'shalim v'nichnas b'shalim. Zok the Gemara. Mamish, right at the beginning of the story, parenthetically, the Gemara interrupts this fascinating story that it's about to tell. Shalom was Ben Zoyma. They asked Ben Zoyma, ma'u l'strusei kalpa? Is it okay to castrate a dog? Amar lehem, so he told him, no. It says in the Pasuk, v'umauch v'chasus, v'nasuch v'charus, lo yisakrivu l'Hashem, u'ba'artzachem lo yisasu. U'ba'artzachem lo yisasu means kol shaba'artzachem. Doesn't matter what animal we're dealing with. Not only the animals that you're allowed to be makriv on the mizbech, which is really the context of these psukim. These are kachim digger psukim. But kol shaba'artzachem, any animal that you have in your land, is something that you're not allowed to go ahead and be misaris. Then they asked him another question, psula she'ibru mayu l'koin gadol. If a basula became a muberes, and she mutter l'kohen gadol, on the one hand, she's a basula, but then again, she's a muberes. It certainly seems like she must have been involved in tashmish. The Gemara says, maybe with Chayshina l'shmul, who holds that she was nesabra bambati, that's the Gemara over there, Masechta Zvigya. Now, at first glance, it's very unclear why, after the Gemara mentioned Ben Zoyma, we suddenly mentioned these two shilas. So most of the Rishonim learned, we mentioned Ben Zoyma, so the Gemara says we're going to interrupt and we're going to mention two shilas that Shaul was Ben Zoyma. If you look at Rashi's pirush on the Ein Yaakov, Rashi says, it's pasha to me, that the reason the Gemara mentioned this here is because when Ben Zoyma was nichnas l'paradis, they asked Ben Zoyma these questions. So this question was posed to Ben Zoyma, this is the rest of the story, when he was in the paradise. Ultimately, he was hitzitz, venifka, but when Ben Zoyma was in the paradise, they asked him this question. Are you allowed to be Masaris a Caliph, or you're not allowed to be Masaris a Caliph? Zok Rashi, like a Shmaka Rashi. And Tosfos quotes Rashi. Small Tosfos, he says, what Rashi says, he says, Kach Pirush Rashi. So Rashi, Tosfos both say the same. Why'd they ask Ben Zoyma about a dog? Why a dog? Dafka, a hint, and some other animal not. So Rashi says, very gishmak. Hoyul v'sirus k'sivet samume karbin, being that the context of this halacha, that you're not allowed to be Masaris, is with regards to the mumen of a karbin, the Kelev, a dog. Not only can't you be makriv a dog on the mizbeach, but afilu chalifa vasal the mizbeach. Even the mechir kelev you're not allowed to put on the mizbeach. Even the chalipit. Right, what's the halacha? If somebody swaps a dog with an animal, so that animal that you got as chalip machlev par v'chamar. So if somebody was machlev a kelev with another animal, even that animal that you got in exchange for your dog is pasal akrava mishum mechir kelev. So being that there seems to be some shaychus between the iser to be misaris an animal and kachin. Dog is the most removed animal from kachin. Because not only can't a dog become kaidish, but even a mechir kelev can't become kaidish. So there would have been a havamina, zok Rashi, that maybe a dog doesn't have the isasirus. That's why Shalom was Ben Zoyma. They asked Ben Zoyma, what's the halacha? Could it be Masaris a kelev? And they are simcha. And a classic Meshach Achman, Parashas Kiseitze, on the Pasuk, the Chir Kelev, says, I want to suggest a different shot. Why they asked Ben Zoyma, Dafka Kelev? He says, Shakelev hoye miyuchad l'znus. He says, because the dog you find in Chazal was miyuchad l'znus. K'mach sh'om rubav m'tziyah daf ayin aleph amin aleph. Armalta loisar bikalba. That an Alman is not allowed to live together with a Kelev. Being that she's an Alman, she doesn't have a husband. So if she lives together with a Kelev, she's chashud that maybe an aver is going to take place with the kel. So he says like this: V'hayu minig ha'goyim ha'kadmoinim she'achrei kein. After they did an aver with a kelev, they would take the kelev and they would now switch it for another animal, and they would take that other animal and bring it as a carbon. They thought they were going to get a kapara. And Rabbi Simcha says, Lochein osra ha'toyra mechir kelev l'mizbeach. He says he thinks that's why the Torah said that the mechir kelev is osir to go on the mizbeach. So it says Rabbi Simcha, V'zeu sheshalu b'ben zoyim v'chagikad yudalun amit beis, ma'u l'srusei kalm. The kivan da'af mechiroi osir mishum shula yizanu imoi. You see, the isim mechir, this is all related. The kelev was a symbol of znos. Is you would have thought that maybe it's mutter to be Masaris the kelev. Because we're trying to, the dog is the enemy when it comes to znos. So as a result, Adarabba, be Masaris to take away its ability to be Mazana. You do it. So the Heishav, it's like, no, at the end of the day, it says, Kol Shabbatzchim Leisasu. And as a result, this is something that's going to be awesome. This is the digression. Here comes the digression from the digression. So Rameh Simcha quoted the Gemara. Again, all related to Mumin. That the Gemara says, sort of, Armalto Leisar Bikalba, that an almana is not allowed to raise a dog. It sounds like a person, if he wants to have a dog, can have a dog. It's just a halacha and an almana. An almana that wants to have a dog is not allowed to have a dog. The truth is, at first glance, before being ma'ayin in the Rishonim, it's tzarech bir, because there's a gemara. This is the very last amud of Perek Merubah. So not everybody makes it here. But this is Bava Kama, Daf Pei Gimel Amir Aleph. The Mishnah says, Lo yigadol odam es hakelev, elim ken kosher b'shal shalai. So you're not allowed to raise a dog unless it's tied by chains. Hanu Rabbanan. Lo yigadol odam es hakelev, elim ken kosher b'shal shalas. Avol magadol hu b'ir asmucha l'safer. Unless there's an issue of sakana. But if there's no Indian of sakana, you're not allowed to raise a dog. Tanya Rebeli Ez HaGadol Oymer. HaMegadol Klovim ki Megadol Chazerim. Someone that's megadol chazer, the same is true. Or someone that's megadol a dog. It sounds like from the Gemara, it's not just an almalto leisar bikal. But no one's allowed to live with a dog. But the truth is, if you look in the Rishonim, Yamshel Shloimeh says it, Barichas here, and Bava Kama Pegimel, all the Rishonim say, and it's brought down lalacha by the Rama, and that is that when Chazal said, "Well, you got the other masakelef," very important caveat. You have to read the fine print. It's only a kelef ra. And a kelev ra is a dangerous, bad dog. But a regular domesticated dog, there's no halacha la yigad al adam asakel. That's the Gemara above Mitzvah. That even though ordinarily it's okay for a person to raise a dog as long as it's not a kelev ra, because that Gemara of Arur, that Gemara is talking about a kelev ra. If it's not a kelev ra, there's no issue. Stating that, al malto loisar bikalba, there's a special halacha because she's chashud on her eyes. Rav Moshe Feinstein in Igros Moshe, and it's in Eirechaim Chelik Aleph, it's in the Memhei. He was asked the question. Somebody was blind, Rechmana Litzlan, and he had a dog that he would walk around with. He was an Upkit in a Yid. He wanted to know if he can take his dog with him to shul and bring the dog into shul. He wants to daven with a minion. He can't get around without a dog. His question is it okay to take the kelev and bring it into shul with him? Binyan suma shehergiloi kelev lohi lichai im yochali kones lebeis hakneses letfila. What's the crux of the question? The crux of the question is, Beis HaKnesses is a Mikdash Ma'at. I mean that it's a Mikdash Ma'at. So Yesh Loimad is an Inyan of the Zayin. And based on that, maybe it's something that shouldn't be okay. So Rav Moshe, in a classic tshuva, it's kedai to see this tshuva inside, but Rav Moshe begins his discussion with the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi is in the third parak of Masechtas Megillah. And the Gemara over there is discussing the halachos of a Beis HaKnesses and a Beis HaMedrash, that because it has Kedusha, so you have to be careful. There's certain things, eating, sleeping, there's certain things that you're allowed to do, you're not allowed to do. Now the halacha is, this is also in Bavli, the halacha is that there's a nafgamina between a Talmud Chacham and a non-Talmud Chacham. Talmud Chachamim that spend their day in Beis Medrash, so there are certain kulois. Someone that's not a Talmud Chacham, the halacha is different. So the Gemara says like this, Rav Ami mafkid l'safraya. Rav Ami told the Safraya, he told the people in the shul, the Malamdi Tinoikis, in also Barnashka Bechon, Meluchlich Ba'iraisa, if somebody comes, he's Meluchlich, means he has a little bit of Torah, that's the way he explained, Tahavin Mekablumay, you should bring him in, let him come into shul. Let him come in, Ulechamre, let his Chamor come in, Ulemanai, and let him bring his clothing in as well. Al-Kopanim, what do you see from here? That if somebody's a Talmud Chacham, where the laws of as Mikdash Tiro, the laws of the way you need to treat a Beis Medrash is somewhat lax, it's somewhat lakula. You're allowed to come in even with your chamar. So there's nothing wrong per se with a Talmud Chacham bringing in his chamar in light of the fact that the Talmud Chacham's halachas are a little bit cool. Now, the truth is these halachas are only negay a Talmud Chacham, stating that everybody knows that the Gemara says in Masechtas Megillah that all the shuls in Chutz Laaretz were built ala Tanai. And because they were built ala Tanai, the Tanai is that sometimes we're going to do things that, you know, maybe don't pass for a Beis Medrash, for a Beis HaKnesses, they don't live up to. So it's for that reason they used to make it l'katchila ala Tanai. And because they were made a lot tonight, it's for that reason, now even for the Hamoinam, there's certain coolers. What are the coolers? A regular person is allowed to treat the shul as if he was that Talmud Chacham. Meaning, it's not a Hefgevel. But whatever the Talmud Chacham was allowed to do once upon a time, now a Pashat Yid is going to be allowed to do in light of the fact that the shul was built Allah tonight. Stating that, there's a big machlokes Rishonim how that plays itself out lahalacha. Rav Moshe brings from the Mishnah Berurah, who paskins in Siman Kuf Nun Aleph, that what's the halacha lemaisa? Halacha lemaisa is, if it's a shas adchak, you can be soimach. So a shas adchak, you're allowed to be mekel. Shaloi b'shas adchak, there the halacha is, you're not allowed to be mekel. Maisa Rav Moshe says that if you look around, the minig Yisrael is that we're mekel, even shaloi b'shas adchak. Listen to his lashon. His lashon is, ukimedumani shabaharmi mekoimois nehagin lahakal af shaloi b'shas adchak. Ule tzorich mitzvah k'tzas. Even if you have like a little bit of a reason to do something in a shul that maybe once upon a time for sure nobody would have done, today the minhag Yisrael is to be made. Well, could go in lechol sudas shlishes b'shabbes to eat shalosh sudas in Shabbos. Afshin tzoiruch gadol shari yochok lechol lechol b'beisai noyadim kemat b'chol amekayim eslahat. He says all shoes are matter. V'af lasleis mishte b'kriyas achasan an afrof oy bar mitzvah noyagin lahakol afshin barush yesh b'zayin in mitzvah. He goes right there. V'chassidim noyagin b'chol batiknosi eshalahem lahater af b'dvara rishus mamish k'goin ha da'achilu v'shtiyah b'yoyim ha'yartzart. That's not even a ktsas mitzvah. Im kei muchrochim loymar, you have to say, shenayagim kirashi, v'agoyis oshu b'shem orzeruah, that aloch is, v'istoyis, we took on as a minute, that we make a limit shaloy b'shasadcha. And then Rav Moshe says, I have a rashi, if that's the case in Pesach de Shabbos, that any alocha that was never really reconciled in Shulchan Aruch, and it's all based on minute, the minig is kaveh the mitzias. So he says, even though the Mishnah Berurah said that as it relates to halacha, even the shuls in Chutz Laaretz that were built all tonight, you could only be soimich that you could treat it like a Talmud Chacham was able to treat it. B'shasadchak, but being that the minig Yisrael clearly is, from all the aforementioned, that we do it even shalei b'shasadchak, even for a dvar shuls mamish like a yard site sudah. So he says, based on that, he believes that it's halacha lemaisa going to be mutter hayoyin, even for a dvar shuls, certainly. For a dvar mitzvah ksas shaloi b'shas achak. But he says at the end of the day, even if you don't want to say that, let's think of our shayla. We have this sumo. This sumo wants to come down with a minion. If you're not going to let him take his kelev inside shul with him, he'll never be able to down with a minion. Number one, is it okay to take a dog inside a shul? He says, if the Yerushalmi says that Rav Ami told the Malamdi Tinoikis, if it's a kipta Talmud Chochem, he's meluchlich by Raisa, let him in together with his chamar. So he says, it's poshet that there's no ubevada shekelev loigara michamar. Number one. Number two, this is for sure a shasat chak. The elonu shasat chak godol mizeh. Shemloina tirenu. If you're not going to allow him coming to shul, you battle kol yom of mitfila b'tzibu v'kriyas ha-toyer of v'kriyas ha-megillah b'tzibu. He says, posh it, that this is a shein lucha shasat chak godol mizeh. He wants to come down with a minion. It's posh it. So he says Rav Moshe, it's back of the envelope arithmetic. I think it's a dove of posh it. That he says, no, the katkil, the person should sit somach to the Pesach, to the door of the shul, but the point is, you know, don't walk all the way Mizrach maybe, but the point is, there's no question that this is going to be okay. Then Rav Moshe says at the very end, and this is mamish, this is posh, off the charts. So Rav Moshe have another raya that it's okay. And my raya is from a Rashi in the Sechtes Brochus, that Samach Beis Amanal. The context over there, the Gemara is discussing that once upon a time, the Beis Akise was considered to be a place where there were mazikin. It was a dangerous place to go. And the Gemara is a different hanhogis that Amiram had when it came to a Beis Akise. Mora says, Abaya meravia le'imai imra. So Abaya never saw his mother. Abaya is Rosh HaTevis, Asher B'cha Yeruchim Yosin. Never saw his father either. But he had a woman that raised him, and she's mentioned very often in Shas. So the Gemara says that Abaya's, this woman that raised her, she gave him an imra, a sheep. What was the purpose of the sheep? So Rashi says, the purpose of the sheep was that the sheep should escort Abaya wherever he went, so that it would be yusta going with Abaya into the Beis Akisei. Migadeles loiseh, umlamadetoy, shahoylechim aytame. Like this, it was Abaya's companion. It's like this, it knew Abaya, and it would come with him to the Beis Akisei. It was able to protect Abaya. But listen to Rashi's Lashon. Migadeles loiseh, umlamadetoy, shahoylechim aytame. It's a Lashon HaRashi. This Shepsala was always at Abaya's side. Says Rav Moshe Fregach, where was Abaya Tomid? Where was he? He was a Bismedrish. Where else was Abaya Tomid? He was Abaya. So Abaya was always in shul. And if Abaya has this sheep with him, Tomid, says Rav Moshe, it's a Mefurish Gemara, that you let it take a sheep. So he says, no. He says, even though this Raya is not Barer, he says, but the Yerushalmi is Barer, and he says, it's Pashit, Halacha L'maisa, that this is something that's going to be okay. I saw in the Sha'ar Mitzionim Ba'alacha, Rav Shlomo Zalman Braun, so we're running out of time, but Rav Shlomo Zalman Braun, it's in his Sefer on Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, it's Chelek Aleph, it's Simen Yud Gimel, Sivkot and Beis. He brings this tshuva from Rav Moshe, and he dings it with Rav Moshe based on a tshuva chasam sofer. Gishmak tshuva tzarichaim simul amanal. If you want to look it up, ve'inkam and kamei laharech. But just one thing interesting. Parenthetically, he mentions that Rav Moshe said that a yartzeit sudas a sudas rishos. Right? He said it's mamisha a sudas rishos. He says umasha kasa. Listen to his lashon. L'damois hachnosas kelev. L'masha chasidim oichlim b'bati knesi shalahem b'dvar rishos mamish. Kigoy nachila v'shtia b'yoy ma yartzeit. Ena dimyon oyla yafer. Moshe meant it in that way. But the point is, he says, Ein adimyon oy lo yofa. He says, Chodo, shachsidim oichlim bechadorim v'kloizim.
We'll get back to that. He says, besides, it's not a dvar rishos. This is the punchline. He says, it's not a dvar rishos. He says, because he brings from the Michas Aluza, that the Michas Aluza said that the halacha is that a ben soyru meir who eats a certain amount, he drinks a certain amount, he becomes a ben soyru meir. There's a mishnah, Masechta Sanhedrin, daf ayin aleph, that if he ate from a sudas mitzvah, it's not an issue. And the mishnah gives examples of sudas mitzvah. Very good. Achal be'ibur ha-chodesh. If he ate at a suda where they were ma'abed ha-chodesh, he doesn't become ben soyru meir. It's considered a sudas mitzvah. Zok Rashi, why was it a sudas mitzvah? Because they used to make the suda lefarsem hadavar. Said the Munkacher Rebbe, the Minchas Aluza, that you see from here that a suda lefarsem a dover toiv, that's considered a suda's mitzvah. So he says if that's the case, that when you make a yard side suda with ideas to be mefarsem the midas toivis and the mesoira, the legacy that the nifta left over, so that v'achayit and alibay, people will be inspired, they'll learn from him, especially if it's a family member or a gadol. So there's no question a tremendous payelis is going to come from it. And you see it's a Rashi in Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Ayin that that's considered a sudas mitzvah. So why should a yahrzeit suda not be considered a sudas mitzvah? Either way, just to end on this, so last night I was talking to Rabbi Bienenfeld and I told him that I was going to mention this tshuva for Amosha. So immediately he sent me that there's a tshuva for a Braish. It's in Eschelkes Yaakov, Chelek Gimel Simen Pei Zayin. And the name of the tshuva is Hasogos Al Piska De Igros Moshe. Lahatir L'Suma Sher Gilei Kelev Loi Lichoy Likoneis Im Kelbei L'Beis HaKnesses Bezman HaTfilo. Rabbeish is very mayrich, and he does not agree with Rav Moshe's psak. Just one thing, again, to mention, you know, we mentioned, Rav Moshe said that, you know, today we're very maker with these things. It comes, especially, he says, the chsidim with the yartzeit suda. So he says that the tsushtel of Rav Moshe to what the chsidim do to the sugya of those gemaras in Masechtas Megillah and the Yerushalmi, he says, not a tzushtal. He said, it's a burcha. He said, it's not a tzushtal. He said, why isn't it a tzushtal? He says, because we know that the chsidim, they refer to their base medrash, not as a base haknesses, not as a base medrash, but as a shtibol. Hachsidim noye can rak bebati midrashiyos shtiblach kloizlim shalahem. They're never going to do it in a big, huge shul. The shtiblach, that's what they used to do it. And the shtiblach were called shtiblach, and they would dafke set that way. He said, it's a whole different halacha. He said, it's pasha to me that all these halachas of a base haknesses and a base on medrash and alatnai and chasatchak and all these rishonim are not negeya shtibol. So he said, if it's not negeya shtibol, at least that chelik of Ramosha is not something that's going to be a tzushtal. Just to end with one ha'ara, I mean, Ramosha prefaced the shaila by saying, is it okay to bring a dog into a shul? Why not? He said, it's a mikdash mad. I mean, and Rav Moshe said, you see, that you were able to bring a chamar, so if you bring a chamar, mechtes, you can't bring a chel. I mean, think about the mikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, there were behemoths. I mean, that's what the Beis HaMikdash was. There was shchita, and there was kabbalah, and there was halacha, and there was riko. Meaning, from the raw standpoint of mikdash, there's certainly no issue. In the Beis HaMikdash, that's what was going on. There would be makkel behemoths. That's precisely what the Beis HaMikdash was, and I'm a loifus. I mean, that was the Beis HaMikdash. I guess you have to say, at the end of the day, it being that in a shul, it's not something that people usually do, so yesh loimar, it's not considered derech kofet.